welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today, returning, is Emily. How you doing?
I'm actually really good. I'm super excited that you suggested this book.
Well, technically, you suggested it.
Yes. So I will take credit for that. Thank you.
So not gonna do too much banter, huh?
Oh no.
We banter a little bit.
I can absolutely banter.
Because it's been a while since you've been on here.
This is true. I didn't know how evergreen you wanted to keep it.
Yeah. We don't have to go that.
Okay. Yeah.
We can say we're off work for a bit.
We're off work for a bit. So we're recording at like 9 in the morning on a Tuesday. It's fun. It's weird. It's
definitely really weird. But okay, so let's go ahead and get into the book then that we are reading, that you are joining me today with. You suggested Paper Girls.
Yes.
I know I got this for you. You asked about it, what, like a year or two ago?
Hot minute ago. I think it was back when I was still on Twitter, and director Ava DuVernay had given out some suggestions of things that she was reading that were like not unknown, but things that she just brought immense joy to her life, and Paper Girls was one of them. And oh boy, she was right.
Yeah, you in that time you kept telling me to read it. I'm like, I'll get to it. I finally got to a point in my recording/reading that I just had a lull in reading. I was just in between recording sessions and books, and so I finally just went onto the Hoopla app on the library and just downloaded them all and read them all in one day.
And now I believe you're actually past me.
Yes, because the day I got the download got the trades through the app was like the same week the last issue came out.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and I got copies of those.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I finished the series. It's a really good ending.
Yeah.
So.
It's a weird book, man.
Very weird book.
Weird book.
So yeah. So let's go ahead and get into what we're doing. Like I said, we're doing Paper Girls issues 1-5. They were published by Image Comics in 2015 to 2016. The writer is Brian K. Vaughan. The artist is Cliff Chang. Is it Chiang or Chang? Chang?
I always said Chang.
Okay. Well, because there's an I in there. I just didn't know.
Maybe he's Italian and it's Chiang. I don't know.
Okay. Colors by Matt Wilson and letters by Jared K. Fletcher. So let's go ahead and get into the first issue.
Yeah. What would be as an overarching sell point for this book, how would you describe it?
So, it's one of those describing it would give away things.
Okay.
It's very, I would say it's very sci-fi-ish.
I mean, my selling point is if you like Stranger Things and funky teen girls, get on in here.
That works.
Yeah.
They're not teenagers, though. They're technically all 12. Well, it's an important point because they say in this book, they like are looking down on teenagers. Don't.
I forgot that your handle is at _actually_. All right, let's talk about the book.
Okay, you want to start out?
So issue one opens on the moon. It's on the moon. We're on the moon, everybody. Welcome to the moon.
And then we've got this girl here holding an apple. On the moon without a spacesuit, so...
No, she's fine. She's on the moon.
Exactly. Her name is Erin. I know they say it by the end of the issue. Erin, or in the volume.
Erin
Tang? Chang? Tang? Tiang?
I never paid attention to the last names.
Oh.
Okay.
But yeah, she's on the moon. Like I said, holding an apple. And then this angel in a spacesuit shows up. This is... Krista McLaughlin? Makaloff? Okay.
Makaloff, maybe.
I don't know how you say it. Apparently, she was on the Challenger that blew up.
I think she was the teacher.
Was she the teacher?
Yeah.
Okay. And Erin is trying to figure out kind of exactly what's going on. I think she knows the dream, but doesn't really comprehend it right away. Because the angel says it's heaven.
Right. And she's like, your Graham's here. Everyone from the Challenger's here, but not your goldfish, okay?
Yeah, I like how she says the goldfish isn't there. I was just like,
okay. Dream logic.
Yeah, exactly.
I told you about my dream about trying to buy shoes at a bodega the other day.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And then she asks where her sister is, and the astronaut says that her sister is in hell. And Aaron's like, wait, what? And then he pans over, and we see her sister tied to a chair in a school, and this demon devil is, like, holding her hostage. I like how she says, the devil says that all you have to do is to answer my question. And he says you have 1 minute, and then the question is like a school question.
Very much.
And Aaron's just like, you know, fuck you, this is stupid. Which apparently was the wrong answer, because then this demon devil shoves its finger through Misty, her sister's cheek. Younger sister, I should say. While the astronaut, Krista, there you go. Grabs the apple. She now has flaming wings.
Hell yeah.
And I can't tell if that face that's in the don't know if that's a reflection or if that was the face underneath. I'm getting very Doctor Who, the library vibes.
Who turned out the lights?
Yeah. Which, that was a great episode.
Yes. also, there are so many points in this magazine where I want to just, like, give, like, the metal guitar.
But then Erin wakes up. She is sharing a bunk bed with her sister. And we find out, you know, just by, like, the movie posters and just the date on her calendar, that it is November 1988.
November 1st, 1988.
Yeah. Hell morning.
The day after Halloween.
Yep. So. I'm assuming they called it Hell Morning because it's all about trick-or-treaters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and, I mean, there's the whole, well, yes. I took it more of, like, the Catholic Church, like.
Oh, okay.
You know, All Hallows Eve, and then the next day is All Saints Day. So, you know, but your reason makes much more sense.
Well, especially since they are paper girls, and they, well, you know, because she gets a, the paper delivered to her house. She's got to roll it all up and get it in her bag. But I assume that because it's the day after Halloween, you have all of these jackass teenagers still roaming the streets, just being
teenagers.
Jackass teenagers.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we see it's, 4:40 in the morning when she gets everything all started. So I don't know exactly what time she gets out and about, but... But she goes, she hops on her bike. It's revealed that we are in Stony Stream, Ohio.
Yep.
So that's, I don't know, I think it's, pretty sure it's probably a made up place. I could be wrong
if you have any listeners from Stony Stream, Ohio.
Yeah, if Stony Stream is actually a real place, please let me know.
It's real near Cleveland.
Yes, because they are delivering the Cleveland Press, I think is what the paper was called. Preserver, sorry. So as Erin is making her rounds, she comes across these three teenagers, all dressed up in their Halloween garb, being teenagers. You see, one of them is holding a carton of eggs. The other two have got shaving cream cans in their hands. But the one that is dressed up like Freddy Krueger, he asked about grabbing a paper off of her. And this is what I was saying about the teenager part, because she's not a teenager, because she's making the comment about teenagers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't like the look.
What look?
Yep.
This is a podcast. There are no looks.
Uh-huh. Anywho's. So what he says is that his paper got skipped, and so he's asking for one from her. And she, I guess, is being professional and asks what the address is. And he's kind of being a jackass and it's like, well, it's none of your business. But I just want a paper.
Like, how is she supposed to
skip that house? Exactly. Because he just wants a paper.
Right.
Or he wants a...
I think he just wants to torment her.
I don't know. Because then they get some very...
aggressive?
Aggressive is a good... Well, I was going to be more along the lines of they are looking at her as...
Rapeable?
There we go. Yeah. I was going to say meat, but...
Yeah.
Nothing actually happens because what ends up happening is these other three girls kind of come in and stop these teenagers from doing anything.
Yeah.
Three more paper girls. So what they end up doing is shooing these kids away. And the three of them kind of take in Aaron as a, you know, safety in numbers kind of thing.
Right.
But, you know, they all have their own little quirks. Like, Mackenzie, the leader, quote-unquote leader of the group, is more of the hard ass. You know, she smokes cigarettes and she's a badass and awesome. We've got KJ, or as they say throughout the issues, Cage. She seems more like the sports player. She's carrying like a cricket bat, I think. No, not a cricket bat.
A shillelagh.
Thank you. Because the cricket bat's more flat and wooden. So she seems more like the sporty type. And then, who was the third one?
Tiffany.
Thank you. I think she's more of a gamer. Because we see that later on. But she seems more like down to earth. And Aaron is very impressed. Like She was like, you're the first one that paved the way for all of us. And Tiffany's like, to be fair, I was the first altar girl.
Oh, Tiffany actually is them? That's maybe why you like Tiffany.
Shut up. Okay, all right. So they split up. They do, because they're going to try to cover the rest of the town before morning. Tiffany and KJ go off, and then Mac and Aaron go off.
There are some super cute details in the art for
the issues. Art's beautiful.
Well, the art is beautiful, but in particular, the page where they are about ready to split up into their various parties, Tiffany's bike is coming off of the panel and onto the next panel,
mm-hmm.
and that is that's the coming outside of the panel. Is extended throughout this book in delightful, very small ways. Mm-hmm. Not like a lot of comics where it'll be like something big sweeping through or something like that. But like there's just these tiny, tiny, tiny little details that just, I don't know, I just delight.
No, that's great. That's one of the reasons why I like Gwenpool so much is, yeah, she's more fourth wall breaking to the point where she's literally taking a panel and like ripping it up to then hop behind it. Yeah, it's just... I like the Gwenpool. I know a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
But. So. They do the split up and they go riding on. We are then introduced to these three characters that look very mummified-ish. They're
mummy ninjas.
That's actually a good way to describe them. Yeah. They're all in black, but they're black cloth, all garbed up, head to toe.
And they look human until you see one of their eyeballs.
Yeah, that has got a, trying to think of the design, just like a...
It looks like a uterus for an iris.
Okay.
Yeah.
As we go on, we get some more background information about Mac, how she basically doesn't... She likes the route, but she doesn't like to get stiffed by people.
Gross old men.
Yeah. Well, that definitely sounds bad. Like she had this one house that just couldn't pay, and so she just refused to deliver to them. And Aaron's like, "Well, aren't they still on the route?" Yeah, our routes, our rules. You know, I'm sick of shaking down deadbeats. Either pay us on time, or get your your stupid sports page somewhere else. And Erin, again, is starstruck. She's like,
cool.
Yeah, this is a, she is, I'm not going to say living out her wildest dreams meeting her, but she is having a blast.
Yeah.
But then they get stopped short by this this police officer.
Cops show up, man.
Mm-hmm. They make a note to show off his tattoo on his arm.
It's a cool tattoo.
Yeah, but I'm bringing up tattoo for a reason. So, the cop is kind of shaking down Mac. Apparently, he says that there was a lot of houses that were vandalized, and he blames Mackenzie for it. But Erin kind of jumps in and says, hey, she's been with me all night. And so the cop's just like, keep up, Coyle, which I believe is her last name. Like, sooner or later, and then drives off. And she's like, sooner or later, what? we then get sounds coming from the walkie-talkie. It is KJ. I think it's KJ. It might be probably Tiffany. Apparently, they are being attacked somewhere else. And so they're thinking that it's the three guys that attacked them earlier, the three teenagers. But when they get to where they're at, KJ and Tiffany, they said that it was three, what does KJ say? Three guys in bad ghost costumes.
Yeah.
And that they grabbed Tiffany's walkie-talkie. And Tiffany's mad because, you know, she got that for Christmas. Took her.
Well, and it was like, I think earlier in the issue, she says each radio cost $49.99 mm-hmm. in 1988 money for a paper girl.
Before taxes
and batteries.
And batteries, yeah. So you're looking at close to $60 probably. Well, batteries probably cheaper. So probably like $55. But still, $55 in 1988.
Yeah, whew. That's a lot of money.
So they do the only sensible thing, and they go chasing after the guys.
Yeah.
Which is smart. Like, that's, I mean, it's not smart, but it definitely is.
It's brave.
Yeah. Which is where the Stranger Things connection comes in. So they said that they went toward the woods and disappeared that way. And so they followed, and they end up in this newer housing addition. Like, the houses are being built, but they're not done yet. And they happen upon one of the houses with a window cracked. So they go crawling into it, and they go investigate. They end up finding the stairs to the basement. And Tiffany's like, nothing spooky about basements.
Nope, never.
Nothing bad ever happens there.
Definitely not.
So they walk down there, and they find this thing in the basement. Cover it. It's got this like black cloth over it. So they go to take the cloth off, and they're shocked because it kind of feels like skin.
Yeah, and Tiffany's like, nope. That's some Texas chainsaw stuff. Not doing it. No.
Aaron's just like, it's not really skin, but it's not she either. You know, it's connected to this thing like a parachute, and they pull it off, and it's this futuristic design capsule.
Yeah, it's very much spacey.
Yes.
Sci-fi-y, capsule-y. No, yeah. It's like, really,
there really is no good way to describe it.
You really should read just read this book.
Yeah, it's a really good book. And they're just trying to, they have no idea what it is. I think Erin does say something from outer space. Mentioned that it looks like one of the old Apollo capsules, which it kind of does.
Yeah.
That's probably the best way to describe it. And I think it's Tiffany. Yeah, she talk about how it maybe it's from the Russians. And then I think Tiffany says it's alien. All the while, none of them asked how it got in the basement of this brand new building.
Yeah.
So as they are just kind of trying to figure out what to do, they just, I think KJ mentions that this is all just a big giant hoax. Like those kids, they just want to be in the newspaper because we delivered the newspaper and we could tell a good story. Similar to that actor named Orville Wright tried to trick everybody into believing there was a real alien invasion going on. She's referring to the War of the Worlds in 1950. I think it was 52? I don't remember.
Well, it's the 50th anniversary, and it's 1988.
So it'd be, okay, so I was way off.
Yeah.
38.
Yeah.
Wow. You'd think I would know that, because I love the War of the Worlds. That's my bad.
It's okay.
That's my bad. So she's like, this is just a giant hoax. This is all stupid. But then this...
Goes on for a while.
I really wonder how well that'll pick up.
I hope it does.
But as they're standing there, it's coming right from the basement. And then there's this giant flash, red flash, and the girls are caught up in it. So much so that it's very, like, x-ray-y. You see their, it's a panel of their skeletons, which is... And then they start hearing the noise again, and they're like, all right, we need to get out of here. So they rush out of the house, only to see the sky is different.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's probably going on 6 o'clock, so the sun is not going to be up yet because
it's October. November, yeah.
But, you know, you might start seeing glimpses of, like, the pink sky and all that. There's a pink sky, but there's also a shit ton of stars and nebula and planets.
All the planets, all the galaxies.
Like, everything is not the way it should be. And as they're looking at that, I think KJ sees... No, Tiffany sees the three guys that took the walkie-talkie. And it's the three mummy ninjas we saw earlier.
Yes.
So they go after them, and we get them talking, but it's in a very odd script.
It reminds me a bit of Ourobesh.
Okay.
A little bit. Like, that's the vibe I got off of it. It's not, but that's what it reminds me of.
Okay. I was, I'm curious if they have some translation on the internet somewhere.
Listen, if there's an entire script of Guardians of the Galaxy that has Groot's actual lines, as opposed to just, I am Groot, somebody's got it somewhere.
That's fair. That's totally fair. I was hoping it'd be like a cipher at the end of the book. Because I know there was, I think it was Batman Superman Supergirl volume, where when she shows up, she speaks nothing but Kryptonian, and it's the Kryptonian letters. So at the very back of it, it's got a cipher, and so I would go back and forth and reading it.
Oh, I am sure there is.
So there's something somewhere.
I'm sure there's a Paper Girls Tumblr out there that someone has decoded this.
Yeah. It's just a nice little... It doesn't really add... It won't add anything to the story, because you get the full story even not knowing what these guys are saying.
Yeah.
It's just a fun little... That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
So the three guys split up, and they are... The girls are chasing them. One of them punches KJ in the face to push her back. And Max just like, you son of a bitch, and goes attacks him and rips off his mask. And we see this guy looks very, I know they say it here in the book, but he looks very Eric Stoltz in Mask with the, oh, you've never seen that?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Another good example would be like the Elephant Man.
Yes.
That's
a better reference for me. Yeah.
Okay. Very, the Eric Stoltz, he played Rocky Dennis. That's what his name was. So, anyway, sorry. And this guy is very mad, obviously. And so he starts to choke Mackenzie, but Aaron comes up with her pocket knife and kind of threatens this guy as Tiffany grabs the shillelagh and knocks him in the back of the head. We get some more, and he is scared, and he goes rushing off. And this is the guy that we saw the eyes, the uterus eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So now we know what he looks like. Mackenzie throws up because she is freaking out, which is fair. They're all kind of freaking out.
And I love her, speaking bubble mm-hmm. right there, because it very much shows her muttering under her breath, but it doesn't use it with the font or anything. It just, it's overlapping in the entire bubble is what is happening, what is happening, what is happening, what is happening,
yep.
what is But they're like, there's no punctuation to it. There's no change in font. It's just all lowercase. Just, oh my God.
Yeah. All in the bubble. Like,
yeah.
It's,
and it overlaps mm-hmm. out of the bubble. Yeah.
KJ points out that something got, the guy dropped something, and it's got this weird symbol on the back. She thinks it seems like a compact.
Yeah, like a mirror compact or something.
And Aaron comes up and takes a look at it. She says it's not a symbol. It's an apple. And this is...
It's that apple.
It's the apple,
like,
logo.
On the, like on the back of your phone. Apple.
Yep.
And dun, dun, dun.
That's how we end this first issue. Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this Paper Girls story.